Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanis Gober, president of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome to the first video in our Creative Placemaking video series. I'm Alice Cavanis Gober. I'm the president of Community Education Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, and I am secretary of Community Education Arts.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. So to start off our video series, we're going to give you a little information in this first video about our organization's history and some of our projects that are creative placemaking projects. So a little bit of history about Community Education Arts. It's possible that some of you have heard of Logan Street Sanctuary. That was the original name of our 501c3 nonprofit. We rebranded this past July in 2019, as Community Education Arts, because the building we were renting that was on Logan Street in Noblesville, Indiana, sold. And we just really didn't need the name in our organizational title anymore. So we rebranded as Community Education Arts. Now, we created the 501c3 ourselves. I'm one of the original founders of the 501c3. For those of you who have never created a nonprofit, I encourage you to do so. It's so much fun. It's not as hard as you would think, but it does have a lot involved. You do have to select your name and make sure that it's not already taken and go on the Secretary of State website. Depending on what state you're in, I'm sure there are different guidelines in each state, and you initially file with the Secretary of State, and then you have to file with the IRS, and that's a process. There are forms online for both. There's tutorials. It's something you can do. You do need, in the state of Indiana, you need 3 principals on your board. You need a president, a secretary, and a treasurer. Our treasurer is not here tonight. She's a wonderful woman. Her name is Joyce Perry, and we adore her because she takes care of all of our financials for us.
Thank you, Joyce.
Yes, thank you, Joyce. Shout out to Joyce. I seem to have a very creaky chair at the round table here. But anyway, so you can create a 501c3. We are talking about creative placemaking, and most of what we talk about will be in reference to projects that are hosted by nonprofits. I don't really have any experience with creative placemaking that's not involving nonprofits. So as Logan Street Sanctuary, which we incorporated in November of 2014, we existed as Logan Street Sanctuary until, like I said, July of this past summer. And we are now moving forward with a lot more digital content, and which is one of the reasons we wanted to have a video series, and just trying to branch out in different ways, because without having a physical location anymore that we're renting, then we just had to kind of rethink everything we were doing.
Absolutely.
In a way. Mm-hmm. We salvaged a lot of what we were doing. As Logan Street Sanctuary, we did host musical concerts. We hosted comedy specials. We hosted our own project events. We rented the facility out for a lot of musicians and artists and writers for book launches and things like that. So when we rebranded, we kind of took stock of what we had been hosting and decided what we wanted to take away with us. And some of what we wanted to take away were things like workshops, things like we were developing a podcast. Our podcast is called At the Roundtable, and you will be able to hear our wonderful recordings for the video series. It will also be podcast episodes, I guess. I'm a little old for all this lingo, so bear with me. But we also wanted to take with us a few of our annual projects. One of our projects is the Noblesville Interdisciplinary Creativity Expo. Another one is the Polk Street Review book. And then we also have some theatrical things that we want to continue to do with our partner organization, Page and Stage Theater Company. So I am going to turn over, say the camera, the microphone, if you will, to Sarah E. to talk a little bit about NICE and get us going on our projects that we consider as placemaking adventures.
Absolutely. Before we go any further, though, I want to thank the Indiana Arts Commission,
who
have supported us by giving us grants for several of our projects.
Yes.
One of those being these placemaking videos that we're making.
Yes, which is technically part of our grant that it's an arts project support grant for fiscal year 2020, and it's for the publication of the Polk Street Review, the 2020 edition, and this video series, and some support for our podcast. So yes, Indiana Arts Commission, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay,
so yes, so thinking about NICE, as I recall how it was.
I didn't say NICE. I said I that's our Noblesville Interdisciplinary Creativity Expo, NICE. So there you go. Yeah.
So as I recall, you and I had just met like a few months before.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we had collaborated our poetry and our art together.
Yes.
And so we met at a coffee shop to exchange some of that material back.
Yeah.
And we just got chatting about how we liked reading and how it had been such a large part of both of our lives, especially classics.
Yes.
Bemoaning the fact that sometimes we read things in high school that then, you know, most people never think of again, maybe have a hard time relating to when they're in high school.
Or just don't appreciate the way you appreciate it when you come back to it later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And thinking, wouldn't it be nice for us as adult artists to be able to reconnect to those pieces, and for those people who never quite made those in-depth connections, how could we encourage them to really relate to them and make them personal artistically?
And I remember saying to you, gosh, wouldn't it be great if we could just have some kind of an event where that's what we do. We have people who are so inspired by classic literature that they create new artwork, new writing, new poetry, new songs. And we have an event where people just come and share all that. And you said...
I said... Okay.
Yeah, she said, let's do it. And I was like, okay.
Right.
And as they say in Casablanca, that was the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
So I consider Sarah E. my arts partner in crime. Mm-hmm. And in 2020, NICE will be in its 6th year.
Yeah,
so we have had a lot of fun with that. Tell the people a little bit about what we've done in the past, maybe.
Sure. We select 4 different books each year, or literary segments. Sometimes it might be a play like Macbeth. Sometimes it might be a poem, like we featured Langston Hughes. Frankenstein is one. 3 Musketeers. We did the fairy tale theme this last year. Little Mermaid. Belle of Tamlin. Always trying to include those underrepresented voices, which is very important to both of us.
Yes.
So that has included like Wainima. I was not familiar. A Child
Wainima,
of the Forest.
A Child of the Forest. Yes, that was one. That was a great. We got a great response to that one. If you haven't read that, you should read it.
And that was, I believe, the first book written by a woman of American Indian descent. Right?
Yes. Published. Maybe the first one published.
Okay.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe someone wrote one but didn't get it published. We don't want to discount those unpublished authors out there. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to bring that book to our NICE audience because so many people had never heard of it. And it's really a powerful story. It's a good story. It's kind of a interesting take on life back in the day, I guess, you know, and from a perspective that, you know, you might not find as known today, you know, and so that was interesting.
Right.
And I think another one that we did that was a little less known, we did last year with Alexander Tom, is that right? Follow the River? Is it Alexander?
Oh, yes, James Alexander.
James Alexander. I forgot his first name, yeah. James Alexander Tom's Follow the River. So, we've always tried to find an underrepresented voice and bring that forward, at least one of our selections every year. Inadvertently or vertently, I'm not sure, we've kind of ended up with a feminist yes, feminine kind of bent sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think our very first year, were that all of our authors were women?
Yes, and we had already selected them based on what we liked, and then realized, wait,
they're all women. So that was fun. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of fun picking four books out of the multitudes of books that the two of us have read. Mm-hmm. Our process is pretty fun. We both separately come up with 5 to 10 books, and then we get together and hash out those books. And then when we pick the four books, then we pick the passages. Mm-hmm. So out of those four books, we'll pick 5 to 10 passages from each book and then hash out which passage rings true to both of us. And our goal is always to find passages that can stand alone. You don't have to read the whole book. Mm-hmm. You don't have to remember the whole book. We find passages that we feel can stand alone, that evoke emotional responses, either through imagery, phrasing. I mean, classics are so well written. It's not hard to find wonderful passages. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, but we do always kind of have that in the back of our mind that someone might be inspired to create a painting or write a poem or, you know, write a song. And so we try to find passages that give our participants a lot of meat to work, a lot of material. Right.
Because half of our goal comes from the workshops where we delve into some of the background.
The more academic,
right.
To just really kind of get that. We had an Indiana Humanities grant for one of our years, and that was wonderful because we brought in some scholars from universities who presented their take on our selections and in from a humanities point of view. So we do want to emphasize, we always want to emphasize the literature itself, the written product, but we also
have the
main event, which is where people could come and share their creations that they were inspired to create from those passages or from what they learned or heard about in the workshops. So that's nice
mm-hmm.
That's our nice event. That's an annual event we have.
Look for it in the fall.
Yes, it's always in the fall. And this coming year in 2020, it will be, we'll have two workshops and the presentation event. So stay tuned. We'll tell you more about that. And then Polk Street Review. Let's talk a little bit about the Polk Street Review. Oh, am I talking first? Okay. The Polk Street Review is really the focus of this placemaking video series for us because it's tied to our Indiana Arts Commission grant to produce the book. It is an anthology. It's a submissions-driven anthology that celebrates Noblesville, Indiana. Polk Street is the name of was the original name of what is now called 8th Street. If you're familiar with Noblesville, Indiana, that is the street that the railroad tracks used to run alongside and through. Most of those tracks have been removed now, but 8th Street is still there. And Polk Street was its original name. We sort of inherited this project. I should give a little background that the Polk Street Review as a publication was started in 2011 by two local authors, Bill Kinley and Kurt Meyer. And they just had, people send in some writings and some photographs and artwork, and they published this book. And every year they had a book launch, and people would come and buy the book, obviously, but also they would select people who had submitted. They would select a few people to give presentations, read, their pieces. And they both had books. Their first novels came out in the same year. This would have been 2015, I think. 2014, maybe. And they didn't have it was kind of funny because they had the call out for the pieces, and they had a book launch, and everybody came to the book launch, and there was no book because they hadn't had time to put one together. And so right around that time was when I was creating the 501c3 that Community Education Arts became. And so one of the first things I did after we got the IRS approval to be a 501c3 is I called up Bill and Kurt, and I said, hey, what would you guys think about if my organization took over publishing the Polk Street Review. And they said, yes, please, take it. And so we did. Mm-hmm. We changed it a little bit. We did a few things differently. We've added awards categories. Well, first of all, we added categories.
Mm-hmm. A lot
poetry.
More art.
Yeah, a lot more art. Images. We call that category images because it could be artwork images, could be photography, could be anything you can take a picture of. And we have song lyrics and poetry is a category, and then prose. And we welcome any medium, any genre of any of those things. Those are our categories. We give ribbon awards. They're not monetary awards, but it's really fun to get a beautiful ribbon. our award winners are always so thrilled. And anyway, we do that at the book launch. We give the awards out. So it's a submissions-driven anthology that celebrates Noblesville. The connection to Noblesville that we sort of require, we also inherited from Bill and Kurt's version of the book, and that is that either your subject matter or you must have a connection to Noblesville. Now, your connection can be that when you were 2 years old, you spent 2 months at your grandparents' farm in Noblesville. It could be that you live in Noblesville, or you did live in Noblesville, you work in Noblesville, you did work in Noblesville. It could be that you've met one of us somewhere. You are connected to Noblesville. I mean, we play pretty fast and loose with that requirement, especially in the digital age.
Yeah.
For the 2020 edition, we've gotten submissions from as far away as Zimbabwe. And I will have to say that I had to do a little searching in our online profile on Facebook and social media, and found that the wonderful poet who submitted from so far away actually has been following us for years. And so his connection to Noblesville is through the internet. It's through digital, you know, the digital world, the digital era. And I find that just wonderful. Mm-hmm. I just am so thrilled by that. So I'm digressing. What else am I supposed to talk about?
I would love to tell the story of the grasshopper.
Oh, yes, you must. Because as you've seen on this video and on our website, the grasshopper is another thing that we inherited from Bill and Kurt. And it's the logo that we incorporate into bookmarks and our promotional materials. So, yes, tell us all about the grasshopper.
Right. So most people are familiar with Aesop's fable, and there is the ant and the grasshopper. And the grasshopper just sings away. You know, with the legs making that sound.
Yeah.
Fiddles away, I guess.
Fiddles away his time, yes.
That's right, as the diligent ant is working.
In the summertime, yep.
Right,
yep.
And so then winter comes, and the ant survives because he's been working, and he's, you know, put away all the food, and the grasshopper perishes. And they thought that this is an unfair tale.
Yeah.
And so what happens in the end is that the ant, come wintertime, feels like, my life is a little sad without art.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
I need something to enrich myself. Mm-hmm.
And so these cold winter nights.
Yes. And so invites the grasshopper in to, you know, provide kind of that spice of life that is the art.
Yes.
And so they have a very nice symbiotic relationship, mm-hmm. which kind of shows we all need to have respect for what each other do.
Right.
And arts is an intrinsic part of any community.
And the world needs ants and grasshoppers.
Mm-hmm.
So we need our creatives, those grasshoppers, and we need our ants, those people who support,
mm-hmm.
and not just financially, but emotionally and in every way support what we love to do. I feel like we are grasshoppers. We're also kind of ants too,
mm-hmm.
so it's kind of confusing sometimes. But we all need our ants and our grasshoppers,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
Right. Something that I want to say that I really enjoy about the Polk Street Review is writing tends to be such a solitary kind of hobby.
Try painting.
Yeah. And so just the idea that you have this big community book launch, mm-hmm. when you can meet all the other artists that do similar things, mm-hmm. and celebrate each other.
Yes.
So for me, that feeling of connection that came, you know, back when I was first getting into doing any sort of adult,
right.
you know, art.
Yeah.
You know, that was really very important to me.
And that,
in my
that
growth.
Is a huge part of creative placemaking, and bringing people together. And, you know, not to just beat the grasshopper ant theme to death, but bringing those grasshoppers together, those creatives, like what you're talking about, feeds the soul in ways that just, well, our whole artistic relationship is based on being inspired by each other,
mm-hmm.
back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You wrote a poem, I painted a painting for it. You know, I wrote a poem based on the poem that you wrote, that I wrote, painted for. I mean, we just constantly are being re-inspired by each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think we've found in our placemaking projects that that happens to the people who participate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the ants in the community who support those endeavors,
yep.
who support the placemaking. And we'll talk more about those people, especially in video two. But I think it's important to say that, you know, you hear those kind of words like community and involvement and all that kind of stuff, but they're really about relationships and partnerships. And I think what you've touched on with the creative inspiration and fellowship, it does ripple out
mm-hmm.
through the community when you're creating these wonderful projects like ours. So, yeah, okay.
Great.
Onward.
Yeah. I want to make sure that we invite people to submit this year for the Polk Street Review.
Yes.
The deadline is December 31st. All the information, the forms that you need to fill out to give us the information about your piece and give us permission to print, all of that is online on our website, which is ceaarts.org. And again, December 31st for the deadline, but February 29th is our big book launch. And it's going to be on Leap Day. It's going to be at the Birdie Gallery in Noblesville, Indiana. The doors open at 6, and then we will have abbreviated presentations, not of every piece in the book, but of highlights from the book from 6:30 to 8. And who knows, we might have guests come
yes,
on here who are in the book to go more in depth about their pieces.
And we'll also announce the awards that night and hand out the awards.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, everything you need to know about the book launch, submissions, and I should say the submission deadline of December 31st is an annual deadline. That's our deadline every year. We publish the book and do the book launch in February. So our deadline of December 31st is annual. So you can start planning ahead. But yes, everything you need to know about NICE, which we've talked about earlier, and the Polk Street Review, is available on our website, cearts.org. So cearts.org. And everything you need to know about us is on there, including our At the Round Table podcast and our Creative Placemaking video series. This has been At the Round Table with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Round Table.